Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
Good. Do you know what this is back here that I'm pointing to?
That is daylight and
it's
a window.
Daylight. I have moved out of my dungeon office after the 3 years after COVID. It's about time, right?
Yeah. I love that. I didn't even think about COVID and like that. I kind of thought you were just down there before. Like you've always.
I was, but like I didn't spend a ton of time down there because I wasn't working from home.
Well, people don't see your background, but you were in this like kind of concrete bunker storage room.
That's right.
It just was had a lot of concrete going on in it.
Yeah.
And in your basement, and you had like, you know, nice looking shelf storage behind you. But you were in like a room with no windows. And so it's really exciting. Mike's been doing, you've been doing so many DIY projects around the house. So the other, like a couple weeks ago, it was only like 2 weeks ago, I feel like you sent me a picture where you like pulled out a sort of kitchen bar that was in your basement. Wasn't really even, was it even, did it have kitchen-y stuff in it yet?
Yeah, there was a sink. Okay. It was impractical. I think
you didn't use it
poorly thought through when the previous owners built it. It wasn't useful.
So he turned it into like a built-in office situation. Mm-hmm. It looks very nice. I don't get to see the actual desk and office. I just see behind you, but I see three windows behind you, which is what you're most excited about.
I can't wait to open them up when the weather's nice.
Yeah. At first when you were moving, I was like, what are you moving for? You have like a pretty, you know, a pretty nice setup in the other room, but I forgot about daylight and how nice daylight is. When I went from my downstairs office to my upstairs office when my kids switched bedrooms a few months ago, I went from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 windows in that room. It was like a corner room to 2 windows in the room I'm in now. So, but it's, I still like it. It's just, it's less light, but I do love being upstairs. So it's
kind of
like
in opposite directions, Maggie.
I know. Yeah. I mean, luckily I still have light. It's just less light. So, okay. Well, speaking of light, I was trying to think of a good segue of, did you have to set any boundaries or say no to Britta to secure this office space for you versus where she works?
Oddly enough, I actually proposed this project for her and she was not interested. And
what
so I was
nice
like, oh,
husband.
Whatever. And then I was like, well, shit, I'm going to build it for myself then. And then
nice.
She's like, that's fine, but you cannot start this year. This was like December 31st. So on January 1st at 6 a.m., I got out my sledgehammer and started tearing this thing apart.
So funny. Let me tell you who was not awake January 1st at 6 a.m. This girl. So wait, I love that you proposed it for her. Why didn't she want it? She just works at like the dining room table.
Yeah. We actually moved the desk upstairs to a different, into a different room next to a window for her.
Okay.
She just doesn't need the same amount of space. Like
right.
I have multiple monitors, I have speakers, I have a big desktop. I have a lot of stuff going on and she has a very simple setup.
Yeah, you got a lot of electronics. It seems like she like has her laptop and she's good to go.
Yeah.
Okay, does she at least have a monitor up there now?
Yeah. Yeah, she has a big monitor.
That's nice. Okay. Very nice. Okay. Well, you're a very nice husband that you offered it to her first and then we're like, okay, well, I'll take it. Or was that your plan all along?
No, not that smart. I was just looking for a new project and thought this would be cool. And then when she declined, like over the next 2 hours, I started thinking about all the ways I could make it awesome for me. And then at that point, there was no going back.
Well, I love that she set a boundary of this isn't going to be a project over the holidays, which was probably her thinking of like not till next year. And that you followed her boundary. This is actually a good example. You followed her boundary to the like hour.
Yeah, that's right.
And started your demo the morning after New Year's Eve. Okay, so today we're going to talk about setting boundaries and saying no. We're going to talk about it on the angle of your money and your time. Because, look, time is money, money, whatever. They're often something that, you know, we trade off in terms of having one or the other at different points in our life. But, Mike, I'm going to give you a compliment.
Okay.
Are you ready for this? this is something from the moment I met you that I realized you were very good at.
Thank you.
And in sometimes like an annoying way.
Don't worry. Wait, is this a compliment? Where is this going, Maggie?
This is still a compliment. Not any more annoying than anybody who is good at setting boundaries.
Because I thought you were going to say no more annoying than anything else you do.
No. Because when you're good at, I'm terrible at setting boundaries and saying no. I've gotten better throughout my life, but in really like even in early retirement, I think I've discovered more than ever how bad I am at it. But I'm kind of making some progress in having some space to realize it and just have this like different phase of life where it's almost like it's all my time that I'm dealing with. Before it was so much of like, I felt like it was the company's time. And so I just was, I don't know, I'm a people pleaser. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but I'm just not good at it. And so when you're around people who sometimes are really good at it, you sometimes get annoyed when you're not setting boundaries and other people are, because you're like, well, wait, you know, I'm willing to do X, Y, Z, whatever it takes. How come you can't make this work or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? And so you've always been good at it. We talked about doing this show like 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember.
I know. Yeah. These show notes have been sitting in our like to-do folder for years.
They were actually so old. They were in like an old template we used to use for show notes. I kind of dusted them off and I've been meaning to, I read a couple books that talked about boundaries towards the end of last year. And so I had a bunch of other kind of thoughts on the topic and we're finally doing it, right? We have a lot of ideas and topics that kind of sit on a shelf collecting dust until we get a chance to. For those who don't know, and if you ever like send us topic ideas, which sometimes people do, we have a backlog of hundreds of ideas for show topics. So we're not lacking it. We're, if anything, we're trying to like narrow it down and say like, oh, we only have 52 episodes this year. We gotta focus on what we're passionate about the most or where we have some gaps in topics or where people are asking for stuff. So we're excited to talk about this. And I think it is a nice time of year to have this discussion. We're still early in the year, right? It's, you know, mid to end of January. It's a fresh year. You want to get off on a good start. And, you know, I've shared frequently on this show that one of my biggest financial regrets is not investing when I was younger. I was like overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. Well, one of my biggest like life regrets is not learning how to set boundaries when I was younger. When I really think about it, that is one of my biggest regrets. And look, I try not to, you know, I don't dwell on it, but it's just, if I look back and think, what would I have done differently in my life and in my career? I would have set better boundaries. I worked way too much. I didn't set enough boundaries between work and my personal life. And again, it's one of the biggest pieces of advice I'd give my kids as they go off into the workforce. And we'll talk about this kind of at the end a little bit more, but it's also tough because there's a fine line between setting boundaries and having strong work ethic, and especially at like different points in your life and your career. So like early on in my career, I don't regret the amount I worked. I more regret my lack of ability to set boundaries as I got a little bit older and more established in my career and had proven myself and had a good track record and could have set boundaries without it having a negative impact on my career.
Yeah. And I think this is very common for people who have really ambitions of any kind that rely on other people to be successful. So like in a corporate environment, you wanted to get promoted, you wanted to make more money, and people were setting boundaries for you, and you had to play along for the most part if you wanted to achieve those things. And then the difference is like you reached a point where you got what you wanted and then realized that you needed to push back on those boundaries. So, you know, it's interesting. The metaphor, I guess, I'm not sure metaphor is the right term, of being a fine line between boundaries.
I never know if metaphor is the right term when I use the word metaphor for what it's
worth. So I'm not sure it is a line between boundaries and work ethic. I think they're two separate things. Because, you know, I think you would say this about me, that when I work hard and I do a good job. But there's just some stuff I'm not going to do. And I don't see it as like not working hard on those things, you know?
Well, I was involved in like a massive amount of what I would call extracurriculars at work, you know, like, which is, we'll talk about because it's kind of my problem in early retirement also, is just I took on a lot of volunteer roles at work and things that weren't technically in my job description. And those can pile up and become just exhausting and the tipping point of, you know, an already demanding job. And you didn't do a lot of that, right? You did your job and you did it well, or you do your job and you do it well because you still have a job. But yeah, there are ways to, and the reason I make that work ethic point is I worked with a lot of younger people, and I would see us like in the middle of a crisis, a deadline, we were missing something. And there's times that you got to stay late and work on something, mm-hmm. and not all the time. And if it becomes a habit, I think someone should say, hey, look, I can't make this an ongoing thing. Like, I need to be home to have dinner with my family, and I've got priorities and whatever. But that they would just leave and be like, oh, it's the end of the day. And I'm like, we're not done with this, you know, and we're on a deadline and we've got to finish this. And this is the sort of thing where, like, I don't even care if you work the next 2 days, but like, this thing needs to get done today, you know, and I don't want to have to tell somebody that, you know. I think people should be willing to, when we're on a deadline, put in extra time and know that on the flip side, there'll be some flexibility to make up for it. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by, you know, strong work ethic. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what, like, why boundaries matter. And sorry, I was reading some other note. Okay. Let's talk a little bit. Let's start with why boundaries matter. And then we'll get into some very specific tactical advice and tips on how to set better boundaries with your time and then also with your money.
So let's do this. You wrote a list of why boundaries matter to you. Why don't you read through those? And then I will give you my thoughts on why boundaries matter to me.
It's funny. As you were saying that, I was like, you should start with why they matter. Do you want me to start?
I will start because my list is going to be shorter.
Well, yeah, I was going to say you've seen my list, so I would love to hear yours.
Boundaries matter to me because, one, I always know that there will be some other commitment, either a fun commitment or a required commitment, that will suck up my time. And if I don't have the capacity for it, it's going to be a huge problem. So there's going to be something fun I want to do. And if I don't have the free time, I'm going to feel horrible that I missed it. There's going to be some medical emergency that I need to deal with. And if I don't have the capacity or the will at that point to deal with it, that's going to be really problematic. So I always set boundaries to give myself the freedom and the flexibility to tackle other things that I'm not planning for.
So you're building in for margin,
yeah,
which is one of my favorite words.
And okay. I build in a like ton it. Of margin.
Yeah.
The other is that I think I have a pretty good sense of two things, what I like doing and what I don't like doing, and what activities get me closer to my ultimate goals and what don't. So we'll take work, for example. There are a bunch of very specific things that I really like at work, and I know the things I don't like. And if stuff comes up, I'm going to like avoid at all costs the things that I don't like. I also know that, you know, going to your extracurricular thing at work, there are some extracurriculars that I do because I know it gets me involved with the right people. It helps me get closer to some of my professional or personal objectives, but I'm not just doing all of them without any clear vision of what the outcomes are. I'm only doing the ones that I know for certain, or I have a strong indication, will get me closer to what I want.
So let me ask you a question, Mike.
Okay.
Because this is going to be the crux of, I think,
good
why
word.
You're successful at this and why I am not. And not just us, but I'm just using us as types of people, as examples
okay.
for, you know, other people to identify with. Do you care what other people think?
I care what some people think about some things.
Right.
In general, I think people would say I don't care about what anybody thinks, but I think it's just very limited.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of saying it. Like some people, like you care that your boss thinks highly of you.
Yes.
To some extent.
The things that I think are important that I'm spending time on, I want people to appreciate.
So I am a like classic people pleaser. Right. Like I care too much what other people think about me to the extent. And I just started seeing a new therapist because I can see someone for $20 mm-hmm. a session. It's so exciting. We're going to do that insurance episode soon. Don't worry. There's a reason I'm waiting a little bit. I want to get a few more actual like experiences with doctor visits under my belt before I talk about the experience of what I think is a great, fascinating find. Anyways, so we've been talking about like people pleasing a little bit, but I'm not gonna get too deep into that. But that to me is like the crux there, right? Is I've spent too much of my life overly concerned about pleasing other people to the detriment of my own freedom and happiness and time and margin and space, right? And so we've established I'm, you know, not good at saying no. I'm not good at setting boundaries. And again, you are. So I think your point and your kind of like why it matters to you is really interesting. And even as you were saying that, I was like, look, one of the big differences is you're able to do all that because you're not overly trying to please people all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't even mean that in a critical way, to be clear. Like, I mean that in this case, in a complimentary way.
Yeah. So one additional thought on that, you know, I think the reason I'm not trying to please people all the time is that it's my belief that in most cases, people just don't care enough to recognize it. Like, you know, if I do or don't do something at work, people aren't sitting around like stewing over it for a long time. I am convinced that if I were to do a good job or do a terrible job or not do it at all, within like an hour, they would just forget it and move on because people's lives are so complicated. And I think that about everybody, you know, it's that like, you know, nobody cares theme of our show. I firmly believe that nobody cares.
So you're right. But here's another theory. And this is very founded in like, I don't know a better word for it other than therapy and like just why people are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You were paid attention to a lot as a child.
That's true.
Right. I'm serious. I think you, from what I know of your upbringing, my parents were amazing in so many ways, but they were busy working. And so for me to get, and then when they weren't working, they were tired, right? They didn't have time to go to my sporting events. They didn't like, they could get me there, but they weren't going to like sit and watch my basketball game. They were like dropping me off or I was catching, you know, a ride with a friend. And this comes from, I mean, I learned this in therapy and it completely makes sense, right? Like I was always trying to do good to be noticed as a kid. Right. And that is the foundation of like, that's where a lot of people pleasing comes from. Right. Not all, like everybody's, you know, different, you know, kind of things about, you know, how they grew up or how, or even just as an adult, how they are or whatever. But that is a big difference. And that is something that I have understood and kind of learned over time is where a lot of my like lack of boundaries comes from is that I'm overly trying to make everybody happy around me, even when it's to the detriment of me, right? And the more I like say this out loud, the more I'm like better at dealing with it. And I think, you know, my parents are like incredibly proud of me. But I just, when I look back to how I was raised, I always felt the need. And look, some of this is nature versus nurture, right? I also just was like, could have been wired this way and born this way, right? But like, to please everyone around me. But I learned, again, through therapy, like a lot of that comes from wanting to be noticed as a kid and wanting to like, you know, that drive and do good and whatever else. Okay. So one thing, and I'm going to get into like why boundaries matter. And this is like, you know, my point of view, but this is also just, you know, third party point of views and kind of why boundaries are important. But just on the points we were just talking about, Mike, I do want to mention, because it's relevant to this discussion, the one thing that I once heard or read somewhere or heard from somebody, I don't remember where, it goes back like 5 or 10 years, that has actually worked for me when I do get better or when I have had moments of being able to say no and set boundaries, is that every time I'm saying yes to someone else, I am saying no to my kids or to other priorities like you mentioned. Like your whole explanation reminded me of that kind of trick that I learned a long time ago, which again, I learned it, but do I like incorporate it often enough? No. But I just love that because it was, I'm terrible at saying no to people and I don't want to have to say no to people, but me flipping it on myself and saying, wait, would I rather say no to this random person at work who's asking me for something that's not really my job that I don't have time to do? Or would I rather say no to my children who I want to make happy and I want to be able to spend time with and, you know, everything else. And that really made me be like more selfish about it. And selfish isn't even the right word, right? But anyways, okay. So why boundaries matter? So ultimately, like, we all need to get better at saying no and setting boundaries to protect our time and money. So it's a protection thing. It's a form of self-care. I read something in a book, couldn't tell you what book, a few months ago, that position boundaries as just setting expectations, which I really liked, because it, like, the thought of saying no sounds harsher and harder to me, but setting expectations about what you can and can't do and giving people clear guidelines around how you would like to be treated and what works for you and what doesn't feels super reasonable and just like being an adult, right? Like, it doesn't seem like something that should be that hard. And then, you know, on the flip side, the idea of not having boundaries can lead to resentment, burnout, feeling taken advantage of, feeling taken for granted, feeling hurt, being angry about something. And I can attest to these feelings, right? Like, I'll agree to do some like volunteer role, and then I'm like super resentful and kind of annoyed. And, you know, I'm like, why am I doing all this and nobody else, you know? And so, like, because I'm overcommitted and I'm overstressed, and like, I didn't actually have room in my life for that thing. Right. And Mike, you, in the example you were giving earlier, you pre-recognized that you wouldn't have room for that thing in your life because you needed to leave space for the unexpected. And I'm like, you know, my, eyes are bigger than my stomach, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want to do it all. I do. And I genuinely want to help. Like, I, you know, the whole question of like where all the people pleasing comes from is one thing, but I also genuinely, like, I want to help people and I don't like saying no. Anyways. Okay. So, and also the idea of not having boundaries can make you feel, this is the point of like, when I say I genuinely want to help people, it can make you feel responsible for other people's happiness over your own. I just read that last night when I was doing a little bit of research for this. And like, that's the self-care kind of selfish angle, right? So it might feel like you're being selfish. And I've looked at other people at times and been like, oh, they're being selfish. They're not giving enough to the company. They're not, you know, whatever. They're not willing to do what I'm willing to do. And like, now I look back and I'm like, oh, they were practicing self-care and prioritizing their own happiness over, they can't make everybody happy all of the time. And yeah. I'm just, it's funny, even in like having this discussion, I'm having additional like epiphanies. Yeah. And I hope this discussion is helpful to other people. But ultimately, like, setting boundaries is taking responsibility for your own life. Or if we want to flip it to talking about money, taking responsibility for your own money. I just, even me rereading and stating aloud why boundaries matter is like re-inspiring to me, because I've ended up at a point in early retirement, interestingly, where I am currently overcommitted, and like, I am not committing to anything else. And I'm very firm on that. And I want to kind of get through some of the commitments I'm on and I'll reassess, but like, I am closed. I'm not taking on new stuff.
I'm glad you're making a lot of progress in this episode. I feel like I should charge you a $20 copay.
No, Mike, no. Look at that, me saying no, yeah. Setting some boundaries. Okay, so let's pivot and talk about some ideas and tactics for setting boundaries with your time. And then we'll go to money, which I think will be an interesting angle too. Okay, so as we talk about some different tools and tactics, I think one of the biggest tools and tactics to help set boundaries is what we just talked about a good bit, the idea of reframing the concept to motivate you and to understand like what boundaries are and what boundaries aren't, right? So I'm not gonna, you know, I'll recap these for like a second, but just everything I just went through of like, boundaries are just setting expectations. So it's not about saying no to something. It's about setting expectations with someone else. It's about taking responsibility and care for your own time, taking your own time seriously enough to give it a voice, to advocate for yourself. You could think of it as like having integrity, right? So this is the kind of like flipping the script I have to do to get myself like okay with saying no to things, right? I have a lot of integrity. If I say yes to something, I want to show up and do it well. And lately I feel like I've said yes to too many things and I'm not actually able to deliver. And that reminds me, like, I don't want to be that way, right? Aside from the fact of like, I shouldn't even have to have that angle on it to just get myself to set boundaries. But sometimes if that's what works, that's what works, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, another interesting point, Mike, and it's related to your reason of why boundaries matter is, you know, we often make commitments and say we'll do something on some like hopeful future version of ourself that doesn't actually exist. It's the idea of like, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. And so you consider the future you when someone's asking something of you, because you're thinking like, well, I need margin in life at my time. And you're realistic. I am not realistic. I think there's more hours in the day than there are. And I think I can get more done. And this has like been a, I can do more, I'll figure it out, whatever. And that's not a good feeling, like to feel overcommitted and to feel behind on things. Like that's how I felt at work for like, I don't know, 20 years. And so remember what that feeling feels like to be overcommitted, like channel that feeling and channel some Mike and say like, I'm going to protect my future you, right? I'm going to under promise and over deliver on the things I am committed to, right? If I end up having extra time, right? And so I think the point is flipping the script and kind of reframing things of what boundaries are and why you're saying no, and then not feeling guilty about it, right? Don't feel guilty about setting your own freedoms and taking those freedoms that you need to be happy and to have a balanced life, right? You should feel guilty for not doing this because it's not fair to yourself, right? And so I think my biggest tip is like reframe the way you're thinking about boundaries.
And the next tip is to really understand your why. And this will help in reinforcing why you should say no or when you should say no. And one of the examples that I think I'm most proud of, weirdly, is when I turned down an offer to move to California when I was with AT&T. And, you know, I had moved up in the company very fast. I was very happy. I liked my job, and they were moving our whole office out there, and they offered like very nice packages. This was not going to be a money issue. But I knew that I didn't care about getting promoted. I didn't want to really work the rest of my life. I didn't want to live out in Los Angeles. And so so those were the boundaries that I had set. Like I don't want to do those things. I don't need those things. And therefore, this was one step too far. I was not going to move out to California. And it like wasn't even a decision. I was like with Britta at the time. I got this phone call. And within a second, we were just like, yeah, we're not doing it. Because we had already determined what our why was for working and what we were and were not going to sacrifice to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. Oh, Mike, also, had you gone out to L.A., Friends on Fire never would have happened.
Never would have happened.
Yeah, so glad you knew your why. And like you said, you saved room in the future to have, you know, space in your life to meet me to start a podcast.
It all worked out, Maggie. I know. Actually, we say that jokingly, but the domino effect of things that happened because of my decision not to take that move has been really extraordinary. And I've learned a lot. I've found an amazing job, an amazing company, met tremendous new friends like you, had all these other opportunities. Like things worked out really well because in my mind, I had set a very clear boundary and I was not going to cross it.
Yeah. And there's no one like me out in LA. So, you know, good thing you stayed. Okay.
What? So, blondes wearing athleisure around? I think that's everybody.
I'm not blonde anymore, Mike.
Oh, you're orange hair since
brown.
You dyed it?
I'm not brown anymore. What? I mean, I'm not orange anymore. You can't, the lighting is tough in here. This is a weird.
When did this happen?
A couple weeks ago. We haven't recorded since then. I almost did an Instagram story, but I was like, did people really care about my hair color? Liz gets loaded, knows all about my hair color. That's all that matters. Can you not tell that it's all brown now?
No.
It's just the light. Here, look.
Actually, now that I think about it, I don't remember what your hair looked like before.
Oh, my gosh. Mike's boundaries in his brain are like what he does and doesn't know. He only has like so much room. For what it's worth, a lot of people are like that, and they just don't, you know. They don't notice things like that. Okay. Another tip for setting boundaries is to put some specific limits or constraints on things. So an example for me that I am trying to, I haven't put it into place yet, but I'm trying, is I'm like going to pick a day or two each week where like I don't take any meetings or calls. I don't record the podcast. Like they're just me days and they're open for whatever happens, but I don't schedule things in advance on them. So, and it might be like Wednesdays and Fridays. And so, because I'm in a bunch of like things now, like a bunch of volunteer roles that are actually like fairly time demanding. I'm helping a friend with some logo and branding and a website and just a bunch of things I've committed to. And I just need some days where like I have me time, and I'm kind of losing that lately. And we've got a lot of stuff going on with like our properties and different things. And so I like the idea of setting constraints and putting some like boundaries on when I will do meetings and when I will do things, because otherwise every single day I end up with like something where I just am not able to do what I want to do for the day, or like things that, you know, goals that I have. And another thing like is, you know, if you're it may be harder to do that if you're in a job working for someone else, but you can put constraints on like the hours you work, right? And say like, look, I want to be home every day by 5:30 to have dinner with my family, right? So it could be kind of some rules or constraints you put on your time, and try to stick to them and create habits around them, just like you would working out or, you know, anything else. And then another tip I've heard before, Mike, which it's never really worked for me, but I hear so many people say this, that if it's not a hell yes, then it should be a no. Like if we somewhat something, yeah, it doesn't really work for me.
I think it's great advice in certain situations. What those situations are, I can't put my finger on right now.
Maybe it's like the LA situation of like, if you weren't like, oh my God, it sounds like such a cool adventure to move to LA. You're like, yeah, no. If you're trying to convince yourself that it's a good idea.
Yeah. Maybe it's with like bigger things or out of the ordinary type decisions, but there's certainly like the, you know, the working hours example that you just gave. I don't think anybody's like, leave at 5 or leave at 6. That's a hell no versus hell yes type situation. It's just like, that's not a small boundary.
The people who I've heard say that a lot are people who are like authors, and they speak at things and they're trying to decide if they want to take a speaking commitment. And like, I've heard it used in that example. If they're not just like, oh my God, I've always wanted to go, you know, speak to Harvard. I don't know why I can't think of what would be a cool speaking commitment. And so the thing is like, limit the in-betweens, right? Another tip is that you could present some alternatives. So if it's not a full no, you could say, hey, I can't do that. And you feel really bad, like turning someone down. You could say, hey, I'm not able to do that, but here's what I can do instead. So maybe it's someone is asking you to be on like a board seat for a volunteer position. And you're like, hey, I'm overcommitted. I'm not able to do that, but I'm happy to make a donation, or I'm happy to, you know, do X, Y, Z. So there can be things that if you just feel bad saying no in certain situations, you can just think of an alternative.
I have another idea, Maggie. Go ahead. Do you remember one of the options for our a bunch of our money etiquette situations? Just don't say anything at all.
Oh, yeah.
So this is, I would not deploy this tactic that frequently, but like if you get an email asking you to do something you don't want to do and you can't figure out a good way around it, just don't respond.
Well, I know you like half jokingly say that, but only half jokingly to be clear. But I will say one thing that someone once actually, I think it might have been like my old boss at IHG said this or someone, like I'm always like the quickest, or maybe it was a mentor or somebody. I'm like the quickest to reply to an email and jump in on like the answer of something. And they were like, just give it a minute, like let some other people jump in. Right. And I started doing that. So it might even be that it's not that you're never going to reply to the
just
email.
Take your time.
Yeah. Take your time. And maybe in the meantime, someone else jumps in. Right. Especially if it's not a hell yes for you. Right. If it's a hell yes, then don't take your time. Like be the first to answer. But that's like, you know, being slow to reply is a reasonable tactic, especially if you're like busy and you got other priorities. And I often will prioritize something that just popped up when I'm like, I still haven't done 20 other things that I've already committed to.
Another thing you could do is you can leverage your accountability partner. You know, I think a lot of times when we are faced with opportunities or requests, it is hard for us to take a step back and have a broader perspective on the situation because we have so much context in the person asking or the things that are going on at work or whatever it is. And if you run these situations by someone, they're likely going to have a much different perspective, which will help you clarify whether or not you should say no.
Yeah, I often run things by Greg, and he is really good at being like, no, why do you feel like you need to do that? You know, like he's just, and not in like a rude way or anything, but just that he's a step removed from like my feelings of trying to like please everybody that asks me of anything. Okay. Another one that's helpful for me that is kind of what we've talked about from some different angles is remember, you know, the concept of like the oxygen mask when if the plane is crashing, right? You got to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you can put it on the people around you, including your children. And so think about the oxygen mask, right, as your boundaries of like, what are the things you need to do for yourself? What freedom and margin do you need to set up in your time? And all you're doing when you set boundaries and say no is like you're putting that oxygen mask on yourself because you need to breathe so that you can be around to help everybody else around you when and if it's the right time. And so I like that angle on it too. And then my last tip on this is the concept of creating a no log. So for someone like me who is so bad at saying no, I once did this. I can't even find it. I need to look for it. But I started a log of when I did say no to things because I wanted to like get some points on the board, if that makes sense. Like I wanted to, in the same way that you have a to-do list, like track when you're saying no to
don't
things.
Do and when list?
You're, yeah, when you're setting boundaries. And on that note, Mike, I have this little sign. Yeah, I bought it in like one of those little like cute gift shops, like, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago. All my number of years are like 5 or 10 years ago. I don't know. It could be 15 years ago. It's this like little very artistic like metal sign that's like white and says no. And it's got like an imprinted kind of no on it. It looks like kind of an antique sign and it just says no. And I loved it because I was like, I put it in my office and it's in my office now too. But I had it in my office at IHG for a long time. Because I was like, I need to remember the word no, that it is a word in the English language. It's a word in all languages in some way. And like, I need to build that muscle. And so the idea of keeping a no log is like, keep a list of all the times you are saying no and that you are setting boundaries to remember and kind of give yourself some credit for it. But also, you can go back and look at those things and be like, hey, do I regret that? Am I okay? Is the world still, you know, moving? Do I still, you know, have friends and I'm still able to accomplish the things I want to do in life. And I've said no to, you know, all these things. Like, that's okay. I just think it's kind of, it's a little bit of a different angle, but it's kind of like tracking your expenses, like track all the things that you say no to.
That's an interesting
idea.
Keep
a no log.
All right. So let's pivot to how to set boundaries with your money.
Okay.
And there's a couple primary situations, like saying no to yourself. So setting expectations, boundaries for yourself and saying no to your kids. And Maggie, one of the things that you've, one of the terms you've used or sayings that you've used with related to kids that I've really liked is that like you're in charge, you're the parent, you know,
yeah.
Like they're asking for stuff all the time. They're crying, they're throwing a fit, but you are in charge. It is not their decision. And setting boundaries with kids is especially important when it comes to spending money. Cause if you don't, you're going to spend hundreds of dollars a day on all kinds of nonsense.
And you're going to teach them bad habits with mm-hmm. money, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to think of it as like, it's not just because you're trying to protect your own money. I'm genuinely doing it because I want to teach my kids about money. I could spend more money on my kids than I could afford to spend more money on my kids than I do now. But like when my kids go out now, they're earning a very fair, I would argue generous allowance right now. Anytime they want to do extra chores and like, you know, I paid Maddie to clean 3 bathrooms the other day, right? Anytime they come to me and say, hey, I want to earn some extra money, I will most of the time, like I've got things that I will pay them and I'm paying a solid rate, right? I'm paying like more than I would, you know, pay a stranger perhaps.
Yeah.
So they know they have things they can do to earn money. But when they go out with their friends now, they have money in their savings account. We put it on Apple Pay for them when they want some, you know, cash, and they're spending their own money. And that I am already seeing how thoughtful they are about not just earning money, because sometimes, especially my oldest, who kind of does the most with her friends, will come and say like, hey, can I earn some money? Because she knows she's trying to like earn money for stuff she wants to do in the future. But also they're very thoughtful. They like think twice, 3 times about what they spend money on and how they'll spend their money. And they're aware. They wanted something the other day and they wanted me to take them to Walgreens. And I was like, okay, but you're going to have to spend your own money on that. And do you value it enough? And they were kind of like annoyed at first. And then they were like, but no, I want this thing. And so, and it was like a facial care product that was not a necessity. And it wasn't like face soap, which I will buy with my own money, to be clear, for them. And But I showed them at Walgreens. I go, I hate Walgreens. Walgreens is so overpriced on stuff. And I was like, let's see. I go, that's my theory. I always think Walgreens is heavily overpriced, but they can walk to Walgreens. And so I looked up the price at Walgreens and it was like $14. And I looked up the price at Target and it was like $10.50. And I was like, and they were like, they were amazed. And they were like, oh my gosh, you're right. And they now, like, they understand the concept of like, some stores are much more expensive for the same exact, it was the exact mm-hmm. same product.
Yeah.
The exact That's same great. Brand. It was a name brand product. Like, and I just, I am seeing every single day, I am so impressed at how my kids are dealing with money. And it's because we're openly talking about it. Some listener the other day asked us on Instagram about, like recommended books for talking to kids about money. And I was like, honestly, I'm sure there are plenty and go like Google it, but I've not listened to any myself. But I was like, but our biggest thing is we just talk openly with our kids about it and we make them a part of the decisions and we give them skin in the game on these things. And that's how they're learning about money. And so, yeah, I think my biggest thing about like saying no or setting boundaries with money to your kids is it's because you are trying to teach them about money. It's not because you're being like cheap or frugal with your own money. It's a teaching moment. Okay. So let's talk about, we talked about like the mindset of and kind of reframing boundaries with your time. My biggest, we talk about this all the time on the podcast, Mike, and we can reference a bunch of other past episodes on this, but like the biggest tools and tactics for setting boundaries and saying no with your own money are around your mindset. Right? Like starting with the mindset about what truly creates happiness and realizing that it's not more stuff and that, you know, having more money in the bank gives you more freedom to make the choices you want to make with your life. And you're not, you know, stuck in a toxic job if you've, you know, set boundaries around your money and you've saved nicely. And I just, to me, that mindset about like what truly creates happiness is one of the most important things to get better with setting boundaries around your money.
And if you know what really makes you happy, it also helps you avoid FOMO, avoid lifestyle inflation, avoid trying to impress other people. They're all related to really understanding what makes you tick. And then these are also things that are going to help you set very clear boundaries with your money.
Yeah. And we have a bunch of past episodes that we'll put links in the show notes to on lifestyle inflation, on our fire extinguishers one, which is a real old one, but talks a lot about like FOMO. And
God, that must have been like episode 20.
That was early. I was like so impressed with my, every time we'd like have a fun play on words with fire, I was like so impressed with myself. I'm less so impressed, like, you know, 3 years in, there's a lot of play on words with fire. But we'll put some links into past shows that are helpful on that. And I think we, you know, a few final thoughts on boundaries. And we talked about this at the beginning. So this is a good, like, you know, coming full circle on it is, you know, I don't ever want boundaries to be an excuse for me to be like lazy or cheap. I don't love the word cheap for what it's worth, but like I'll give some examples, right? So I think I said this early on, like, right, when you're right out of college and your very first job, like it's not a great time to be setting too many boundaries verbally out loud, right? Like you coming in and being like, well, you know, I like to come in around 9 because I like to work out in the morning and I like to leave at 4:30. Like that, like dig in, work hard, take care of yourself, but also like become a linchpin, right? This is one of my favorite books by Seth Godin. Like, become indispensable. That is what will make you successful. And I'm not saying work so much that you drive yourself crazy and that you, you know, don't sleep and aren't taking care of yourself and don't have time to have fun with your friends and work out. But I am saying, like, dig in and work hard, because I just think that the concept of boundaries can sometimes be confused with not doing a good job and not going above and beyond and being, you know, I don't love the word like lazy, but like not working hard, right? And on the flip side, when I made that same reference of like, don't let it be an excuse for being cheap, right? If you organized a dinner or you agreed to go have dinner with someone else and, you know, like you should be offering to split the bill, you should be offering to pay depending on what the situation is, right? Like if you're asking someone else for a favor and you you know, they're spending an hour of their time with you and they're meeting you at Starbucks, like you should be paying. You asked them for help. You initiated it, whatever it was. And so don't, boundaries aren't like, oh, I've got a budget, so I'm going to like hope that they offer to pay for this thing that I initiated and that they're helping me with, right? Like I just always on some of these things like to remind people at least of my thoughts, you know, on these topics, and just the idea of, you know, there's boundaries can be taken too far, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in general, we all need to balance the idea of like freedom and self-care with the impact that we have in life, which just goes to the point of just being careful with what are boundaries and then how we also have the impact that we want to have. And then ultimately, like back to the point I made about why when we first started, Mike, about like my gut on like why you're so good at setting boundaries and why I'm not so good at setting boundaries. And again, less about you and me and more about just types of people and where we all come from in the world and kind of where we're coming from and why we are good or bad at setting boundaries. The idea of reframing and reshaping our own self-image to really have the confidence to set boundaries, right? And I'll say that about myself, right? Like I didn't have the confidence to set boundaries. I might've come across as a confident person, but I was so focused on pleasing other people to get the accolades I needed to feel confident about myself. And like, that's just the pattern I was in life. It's just, you know, again, I'll say it because it's worth repeating, reframing and reshaping our own self-image to have the confidence to set boundaries, to reframe the inner dialogue we have to remove any guilt or judgment from the idea of setting boundaries. And ultimately, like we need to be able to invest in our own growth in this area of setting boundaries, of saying no. So that's my pitch. That's what I got.
No, it's a great way to wrap this one up. I look forward to receiving my copay for this therapy session. All right. So top three takeaways, Maggie.
Okay. Number one, setting boundaries are a good thing. Think of it as setting expectations.
Number two, you really do need to get good at saying no to protect both your time and your money.
Number three, this is a journey, so be kind to yourself as you get better at this. Your confidence will grow over time. Keep a no log. Realize, you know, that you're not going to look back and have massive regrets about setting boundaries. If anything, you're going to be like Mike. You're going to feel really good that you've, you know, had a life well lived of setting boundaries and having freedom with your time and money.
So thanks everybody for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we would love to hear from you. And you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Bye.